Open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity today that we get to come and do the work of the township that we're elected to do. Father, today's a special day as we now swear in new officers for the fire department, Lord, and as they come to serve and protect as the residents need it, Lord, we ask that you be with this meeting, for it's in your name. And Lord, be with the residents that we have lost that used to come to this meeting, and Lord, be with their family and comfort them, for it's in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Could you give us a date and time for
yes.
the meeting?
Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Franklin Township Board of Trustees regular meeting. Today is April 4th. It is now 12:01. If we could, we remove our hats and we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Jan, would you like to lead us?
Yes, sir. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So at this time, I'm going to move down. I'm going to turn the meeting over to Chief, if you would, sir, and floor is yours.
Thank you. Welcome, Paul. We're going to swear in Firefighter Bryson Partlow this afternoon. As you know, the fire department's kind of a family affair.
Yes.
We're lucky enough to hire Jeremy Partlow's son, Bryson. So I guess we'll just get on with it then, with your permission.
Sure. Yes, floor is yours.
All right. So
you want to come right up front?
Just raise your right hand, and then just repeat after me. I, Bryson Partlow.
I, Bryson Partlow.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
To uphold that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Ohio.
The Constitution of the State of Ohio.
And I will, in all respects.
And I will, in all respects.
Obey and comply with.
Obey and comply with.
The rules, regulations, and resolutions.
The rules, regulations, and resolutions.
As set forth by the Franklin Township Board of Trustees.
As set forth of the Franklin Township Board of Trustees.
And will faithfully discharge the duties of my employment.
And will faithfully discharge the duties of my employment.
Congratulations. Mind if we just get a couple pictures?
Oh, absolutely.
Take what you need.
Yeah.
I see you all.
Sure.
Anyone else? Photo time?
You're a gift, gentlemen.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Yes. I apologize.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Thank you.
Good luck, honey.
Anyone that would like to stay for the rest of the meeting, you may do so.
Let me help you out a little bit.
You know, hey,
do we want to do this now? What was your preference?
What do we want to do?
Just okay.
Gotcha. I'll do that.
Okay, so we did things a little bit out of order. So now I'm going to ask for a roll call.
Mr. Blevins?
Here.
Mr. Fleshman?
Here.
And Mr. Leeser is excused.
Correct. So what I'm going to do is go to the, we've been doing the speaker cards first this year. So what I'll do is go to the speaker card first. And first up we have Willard. Do we have the, you got
I'm
it?
Already.
I'm like, do I do double duty? No, thank you, sir.
No, this is what we have to do. You talk, you do your thing.
At the last meeting, I was informed by one of the trustees that it is a privilege for the citizens to be here, that he does not have to allow the citizens to be here. Mm-hmm. He does not have to allow the citizens to speak. Mm-hmm. We got into a little heated argument about it, and I went and looked it up. We've already spoken to John about it. It's called the Sunshine Law. You as trustees do have to allow the citizens to speak. It is a law. So I wanted to inform the committee that I did my research. I back up what I say. John has been informed about it. I've discussed it with John. I've discussed it with you. It is a state law that you must be transparent to the community, to the citizens. You must allow the citizens to speak. That's the one first subject. Second subject, West Scioto Commission had a meeting last night. Just to inform you, John couldn't make it, so I'm just going to give you a real quick rundown. The Twin Creeks property, John is very involved with this. They have switched from the commission now to the city because the commission wasn't going to allow them the variances that they asked for. We spoke to the owners of the other property on the other side of the street, Hilliard Village. They do not have access to that road. It is a private drive. I've spoke here to our to township. They're cutting woods to come and to connect to the township road, but they have not came before the commission, as far as I know, to ask for permission to access that road. Plus, Brookside is listed as non-heavy, so they couldn't bring the construction trucks through there to begin with. That road is hanging on by its last breath. As it is now, it would be destroyed within, he would know better than me, but probably within a week or two, it would be destroyed. So they're trying to do some shady stuff, and I wanted to let the commission know what they're doing, what direction they're coming. But the commission has been fighting this. They have been fighting the people who want to build the buildings, and they are very, very shady. John's dealt with it. John knows. So I'm just letting you know that they're probably going to try to tie into our streets. But they have to have two accesses for fire and EMS. Right now they're landlocked. They don't have a single access. But just to bring you guys up to speed. Thank you.
So if I may, on the first part, I apologize. I wasn't here at the last meeting. I had a severe cold and I felt better, but I didn't want to affect anybody. So I did not make that meeting, so I apologize. That's the third meeting I missed in 11 years, and I usually like to keep a real good track record. So you spoke on, I know that I have heard what you've heard about the privilege, and me as a trustee, I tend to disagree. We have to post a sign in order to have a meeting 24 hours in advance. When I ran for office, I asked people to vote for me because I represent the people. This is let alone what your research, which you're correct, what the Sunshine Law states. But for me as a trustee, we do, irregardless of topic or how abrasive it may be, we may not want to hear it as long as it's not in a foul way. Everybody gets their 3 minutes to speak. And so I apologize. I wasn't here. I didn't hear. I heard what happened. But as me as a trustee, I believe that it's a privilege to be able to sit up here and work for the people. So I apologize on myself because I'm part of the board, so I feel I owe you an apology. Second, Mr. Stevens, do you feel a cut-through is warranted on our on our street to be able to do that? And I think we can pass a motion or resolution to state that we're not going to grant that so that we're ahead of it. There's nothing that states that we have to give them access. Is that correct?
No, you don't. You don't have to give them access. And nothing has been brought to our attention. And from the last time we spoke, from what I've looked into, there's nothing in the plans that really anybody, county-wise, or anybody even knows, so.
Sir, would you feel comfortable if we was to have a resolution now that says that we are not going to grant access on, what street is that?
Plank.
What is it?
It's Plank.
Plank.
Place?
Mm-hmm. Or would we, the reason that
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to go back to. I'm going to go back to when you put the retainer place in on Harrisburg Pike and all three trustees weren't there.
Right,
and
that's
so
why I'm asking.
I feel like all three trustees need to be here.
Okay.
We're talking, is 2 more weeks going to really hurt, sir?
No. We don't even know.
You know what I'm trying to say? I'm just trying to, let's have all three here and let's make a decision.
Okay.
If it meant the difference, then I would
you're fine. The
reconsider.
They don't have permits approved yet, so.
Okay, but I'm not opposed to it. I myself will probably try to go out there and do a little bit more research for myself, see it with my own eyes, and things like that.
I will give you my phone number.
Okay.
And you can come over. I'll
we'll
show,
make that
I'll
happen.
Show, I'll show you.
Okay.
Okay, so I appreciate that. No, I wanted, that's why I asked versus putting a motion out there. The only reason that I would ask is not that we need it right away, but it's one of those, if they start to bring it up at the next meeting, that there's already a resolution that Franklin Township is not going to grant access. One, those streets in there are not that old, so it was great that we were able to put all new streets in there, and to have that heavy equipment on there is not going to do justice to our roads. So I do appreciate that.
And access to the main road now is almost halfway. You've been down through.
Right.
It's hard. It takes you 5 to 10 minutes to pull out.
Right.
Now you had another 500 cars trying to pull out the same street.
Right. Well, my biggest thought is them cutting a access to come through, and then they want to use that to as a job site to build.
The woods. They literally cut a drive towards that street, and they stopped at the edge of the township property. The woods is already cut. So that's why.
So I guess what we can do is stay on top of that, and then if we see that they're connecting, I'm sure that we could easily say, even if we have not put anything in together, since there is no statue, you can probably, hey, you can't cut through here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we would even, at that point, we could barricade it if they tried to connect.
Well, prior to them even being able to do anything, they would have to come to us for a right-of-way permit.
Right.
And we can deny that right off the bat.
Right. And I've got a feeling, like, from what I've went toe-to-toe with them on in many of these meetings, they're the type of people that's just going to do it and then say, oh, we didn't know. And it's already there.
Put a guardrail up.
Okay. Yeah.
I did want to say something
about
his first statement about the speaking at a meeting.
Yes, sir.
Because I've walked into these meetings. It wasn't a regular board meeting. It was a special meeting, and John was the chairman. And the first thing he reads at the top of that agenda is that they'll be taking no questions. So I guess I'm a little bit confused on why we're changing. You realize the last meeting that he wasn't able to speak at was a special meeting.
See, I wasn't here. That's why I said I don't know what.
I was asking the trustee about the whole thing that the whole reason it came up was I asked why did the trustees move the public speaking from the end to the beginning? Because during the meeting, you will be bringing up stuff that we've never heard about. So at the end of the meeting is when the citizens will be asking you questions. So I asked him, why did you move that? Because it didn't make a lot of sense to me, because we're going to have the most stuff to ask you at the end of the meeting. And then that started, it wasn't exactly about the last meeting where we wasn't allowed to speak. It was, that's what started.
I'm just trying to say to you, do you realize that you've now, you said, I think you weren't aware of, that's what I'm trying to prove or say here, that this was a special meeting.
Okay.
And you know when we've had special meetings before,
right,
and you come in, one of the first things you read is that there's not going to be any audience participation, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
The other statement that he just made is, and we talked about this at the last meeting, you have us write down on that paper what our topic is going to be that we'd like to speak about.
Sure.
And you've maintained that I had to speak about what I wrote down.
Correct.
He wants to be able, and I get it, believe me, because I wanted to do it for years. He wants to be able to speak about what he hears about during the meeting.
Gotcha.
And that's not an opportunity to do that.
Okay. So here's what we can do. There's a couple different things. One, usually when I was chairman, and we had a special meeting that we're going to be in and we're going to be out, it's always open to the public. I would always read off that this is a special meeting and that we're not going to be taking any questions, so there's no sign up. So I wasn't here for that meeting, so I don't know what took place.
I understood that.
So moving to the speaker card this year, every chairman can kind of say, hey, let's take him from the beginning, let's take him from the end. It really did, at the point, didn't make a difference as long as we had this and people can sign up. Generally, people would come in that they want to speak on a certain topic, like you today. So generally, you would put in your name and et cetera, et cetera. And we find that majority of them, what they were speaking about wasn't necessarily what went on in the meeting. Now, I agree with you, and this is something that the board can consider real quickly. Do we change it back to the end of the meeting? And then also, if there's something that they want to talk about that was spoken in the meeting, then they would be able to do that. So at one time, people would put down just in case. And then we would go down through the list, and then they would say, nah, there was nothing that I heard that I wanted to speak about. So generally, what we have to do is come up with a way that is going to suffice everyone, because generally, any meeting that you go to, if you're going to speak, you're speaking on a certain topic and not necessarily what you heard in the meeting. If you write down what you heard in the meeting, at the next meeting, if you want to bring up that topic and speak on it, that's usually how we do it. Is that suffice, or is that...
The only thing, I mean, this is fine. The only thing I was asking for was maybe to have at the end of the meeting, a spot to where you would answer questions.
There is a remedy.
Open to the public to answer questions.
There is a remedy. So you can do the 3 minutes at the beginning like we're doing right here today. And then at the end of the meeting, you can say 2 minutes, but only to discuss what was discussed during this meeting.
That's all.
That would give people 2 more minutes.
I agree.
To come to the podium. And just as we did here, we sit and we listen. We don't interrupt. We run the clock, and when they get done, we give them an answer, and it's over and it's done.
Okay.
So you can come up, share your concerns with the board 3 minutes at the beginning of the meeting, and at the end of the meeting, if someone wants to get up, come to the podium, or wants to stand up, I used to like to just stand up and have a say for 2 minutes and say, I just heard you say this, and I'd like to ask you a question about it, and then we move on.
I was asking the trustees at the last meeting, and so, it was the arrogance and it's a privilege for you to be here,
right.
And we don't answer to you. I mean, that's exactly, he was sitting there, he heard every single word.
So what I'd like to do is
was upset about that.
I understand. I'd like to do what we did on the other thing. Can we get with Jim and have an answer? We'll bring it up 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
And try to have an answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as chairman, we try to support the chair, but then the other two do have the ability to say, no, we want to see this. I want to do what is going to be in the best interest of the people, especially the people that come to the meetings and that have questions. They take those things back to their community and et cetera.
I was just upset. Elected official told me that it was a privilege for me to be here, and he didn't have to allow me to be here. That's not how things.
As I stated, I think it's a privilege to be able to sit up here and speak to everyone here.
Yeah.
So that's where the privilege for me comes in. But I don't want to speak for him.
I didn't want to start all this, but I was just
this is what we're here for.
Because right.
I sit on the West Scioto Commission. So I'm not speaking from, I know what I'm talking about, So I looked up the laws so that I would be correct. And I came to a trustee and said, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right. And found out that I was on the right track. So I wanted that trustee either corrected or procedures put into place to where
we follow the correct laws.
So what we can do, just so that we address this, sir, if we put this on the agenda for the next time and have a blurb of what the Sunshine Law is to remind all of us for our next meeting, and that would be under, if we put that under old business, then at that point we can say, do we want to add that under, and then that would be the first topic under old business at our next meeting.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Do you specifically want to address?
The Sunshine Law in regards to people speaking.
Okay.
And, you know, if we see something in regards to, if I don't like the word privileged, but pertaining to that, mm-hmm. what we're hearing. Because
mm-hmm.
obviously it's, there's got to be a better word than privileged, because mm-hmm. I disagree with that for my personal self. Okay. Yes. Brenda Fuller.
I retract.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So we're moving on to new business. Patty Spencer with Southwestern Area Commission.
I have a couple things. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday.
Happy spring.
Yeah.
I just have a couple of things. I'm sure the fire chief will know about this, but on April 27th, Columbus is having their Community Safety Day. Oh, maybe not. Okay.
Is that a Saturday?
From 10 a.m. to 2 at the Fire Training Academy on Parsons Avenue, so you know where it is.
Old Worley High School, for those that may not know.
And it's going to have, all sorts of Columbus. Recover for Life is going to be there. Nationwide Children's Hospital is going to be there. And various Columbus agencies will be there. Also, our Reeb Center for the Columbus, one of the community centers called Reeb Center, is now a member of the Homeless Prevention Network. And if you know anyone that is on the brink of homelessness, or needs assistance, they can contact that center. I have a contact name, and they can make an appointment with them for housing and stability and support. So that's all I have. I will drop this
so
off.
So what I'd like to do is open the floor for a moment. If anyone has any questions, here none, I will close the floor. Thank you very much.
Patty, thank you for your support with those with those grant applications, thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Thank you.
More than welcome, anytime. And I do need to talk to you after the meeting.
Okay.
So now we'll move on to the fire department, Chief Arnold. And sir, the firefighter that we had that with, I'm going to call the Cleveland Rescue.
Yeah.
Is he still with us?
Oh, yes.
I remember that case. That's almost been a year ago.
Yes. So I was asked just to bring run numbers at the beginning of the month for the first meeting, so I just have some general responses for you. In the month of March, your fire department ran to 10 building fires, 22 total fires, 13 auto accidents with injuries. We had 13 cardiac arrests, which 54% of the time, which is 7 of them, we got a return of spontaneous circulation, which basically means the heart kicked back on, whether that remained that way or they passed at the hospital. I can't get those numbers. But 885 total runs, 418 of those were in the township. Other than that, I don't have anything unless anyone had a question.
All right.
Comment?
You got anything?
No.
At this time, I'd open the floor for any questions to the fire chief. Hearing none, I'll close the floor. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time.
We're going to move on to our...
Thank you.
Wow. Chief. No one corrected me. No. Police department, I skipped over you, sir.
That's what we're going to beat you now.
Afternoon.
Or no, it's not afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Lieutenant, thank you for... you could have said, what about me?
Right. So I'll start off with our general stats for March. We had 1,022 runs with our police department. 18 assist other units, 14 burglaries, a bad check. 4 DOAs, 7 animal complaints, 26 auto accidents that were not injuries, and 45 that were injuries, which they helped us out on. One hit skip with an injury, and 22 hit skips without injuries, 64 domestic disputes, 3 fights, 26 thefts, 3 missing persons, 4 persons with a gun, 1 with a knife, 2 robberies, 7 shots fired, 14 stolen vehicles, 3 recovered, 6 suicide attempts, 143 suspicious person calls, 10 suspicious vehicle calls, 12 vandalisms, 6 threats or harassments, 65 alarms. Those are like when we respond to businesses or homes when their alarm goes off. 8 assaults and 124 traffic offenses and 5 overdoses. Then I have some results on, and we have the, which we're still waiting on, 2 new ones, our speed cameras. And it misplaced one. The one that I have for 14 days on Lower Avenue, it's a 25 mile per hour zone. The revenue gets a lot of traffic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was 8,653 car vehicles that ran down through there. 1,923 of them were running at 38 miles an hour or above. So we need to probably do a little bit of enforcement.
And this is on Lower Little?
This is in between Upper Harrisburg Hill. Pike and okay. Brown Road. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? I don't have my other one. I got it on my phone though. Because we moved it twice last month. Something I don't have it. Sorry okay. about that, but I don't have the other speed camera data. It was pretty close run. To the same. Yeah, you have it. Yeah. Can you say it real quick?
So on Big Run East, it's 25 mile an hour zone. 7,026 vehicles went down the roadway. Of that, 2,297 were going 33 miles an hour and above. So 67% was obeying the speed limit.
Now was that Big Run where the curve is, that's what, east, and that's coming through there, correct?
Yeah,
that's
what I'm counting here.
That's a lot of vehicles.
Yeah, that's it. We're pretty busy. Very streets. Busy. Okay. Yeah. We have, to just also let you know, we're back riding 2 guys that look fairly decent. That doesn't mean that we're going to end up with them passing their whole background, but hopefully we'll have 2 guys we're going to be coming to you over here in the next couple months to hire as officers, okay? That'll help us out getting some of this taken care of. Also, the flock cameras, I see that's on the agenda. Do you need anything on that?
I don't think we do. And then do we necessarily need, I think that Mr. Mazur would, excuse me, Leisure would be okay with it, but do we want to wait to move on that?
I do have a few questions on them.
Okay, so we'll wait till we get to that.
That's not necessarily, well, one of them you can answer. Have you decided where they'll go?
We already have, they're not our cameras. I can give you a couple of little stats of the cameras that are over in Havenwood and ones that the Prairie Township has, okay? Havenwood has 3 cameras basically on a stretch of road that goes down through their section. In January, these are just stolen or wanted people hits. I can't tell you what it led to or didn't lead to because I can't log into it. Like if they were ours, I'd be able to log in and see a little bit more information. But these are actually Havenwood's. They had 13 hits in January, 14 in February, and 8 in March. Prairie Township's cameras, and it's their cameras, it's actually Prairie Township purchased these. They have 10, and they've had 44 hits in January, 54 in February, and 71 in March. Now, we get this information by phone. So like if a stolen car or a person wanted for a major felony or something like that comes down Broad Street our direction, you know, we could be prepared to help out with the county to catch these cars. I personally want to put them dead somewhere down south here. I want to sit down really steady and get an idea with Byron and maybe talk to the guys where they think they might want them. But the south end of the township needs some kind of attention with that. So,
With those flock cameras, can I Google flock cameras Franklin Township? Does that information go out like to the bad people where we put them?
Nope, they can't. You got to have an account. In fact, if we don't pass this test, we're off the system.
Okay. So. I just didn't know if it was public knowledge, if they was to research, like if a bad person was like, well, we know it's right here and we just avoid that area.
It just goes
either way, it's a deterrent.
Yep, it just goes to the officers. Only the officers get it. Right now, Franklin County, us, we're sharing our information together with each other. If as of April 1st, which was a few days ago, we had a minimum purchase requirement of 2 cameras, and then we're taking off. I was under assumption we were going to approve them today. I asked for
I'm not against it. I just had questions.
Well, I didn't mean that. Yeah.
So.
So they extended it for us till, you know, tomorrow. If you say, yeah, I can tell them, keep us on the system, and then we'll work on getting our cameras.
Okay. Little Avenue, Lower Little, on the other side of Brown Road. I call it Lower Little because it goes down. Mm-hmm. Park Street, I think, is the last street that turns off onto the
West Park. Yeah.
Can we make a note to check? I got a call that the property that is the county commissioner's, people are starting to use that as a private place to park their cars in there. And they were concerned about it starting to happen more frequently, that people are turning that into their own private parking lot. Now, we also have, I haven't been down there in a while, but we had like an old boat, and we had the gravel. Is all that stuff still in there?
There's still quite a bit of debris, and we just continually turn it back over to the county and say, this is what's happening on your property, and it's kind of up to them. But
so, really Mr. Mazur, are we able to add that to Nicole's list to see what we can do to facilitate cleanup where people are either dumping? Because I know at one time there was a boat in there. There's construction material like gravel and which didn't look bad. Looks like someone just backed up and dumped a truckload of gravel. We could use that. And I think the other was sand or something. There's car parts. There's a boat. And then people are utilizing it just to park their vehicles in there.
Which name is street, John?
West Park and Little.
Right before you go into
Cantley's.
Yeah. Okay.
But I guess if you turn on the West Park, that I don't know if it's the only house there that they're using that property as their parking area. I didn't know. I just got a call on it, and I said I would bring it up today's meeting.
I'd have to go look.
Yeah, and if we can just. Maybe even if we tell the people, hey, you know, you can't park in there.
I think there's no parking signs down through there. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think you guys actually put them down through there somewhere, but they may be beyond it.
Yeah, because just the other material that we've seen for years that we keep telling them, to me, that just invites more stuff to be dumped there. So, and that's county commissioners that own that land. That was part of the land that was purchased by the county commissioners, the homes, because of the floodplain.
Well, yeah, that is county land, isn't it?
Yes. So, you know, they're not supposed to, one, be on there.
Like, trespassing contracts at the county or not. I've never dealt with that.
Getting ready to say.
Yeah, if I had something like that, we just go in and move them.
Okay. So if we, can you put that in your notes?
I'd have to talk to him and see who did contact over there.
To get you the contacts you need, but that sounds like that's the direction you really need to
go. Yeah, if we can obtain a trespassing ability, I don't know what you guys call
it's a contract.
Contract, trespassing contract, then we could facilitate that, then we could just remove all the stuff that's there, correct?
Yeah, what I'd have them do is also sign that. There's 2 forms. We have one for trespassers, then we have a private property for cars, like that we fill out with people out here. What I would do is I'd have them sign off on it and leave it blank for the type of car, whatever it is, and then when I found one on there, with their permission, it's okay to remove cars in there, and initial, and then I could go take the cars off.
Okay. I don't think that they would be opposed to that, because we've been asked, waiting for them to do something, and if we're an agency that is willing to do something, then it would behoove of them to want to allow us to keep our area clean.
I'd want to put a 72-hour notice sticker on it, just to give them
yeah.
the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
But, yeah.
Yeah. We won't play by the rules, but it'd be nice that we could finally, because that boat's been there 4 years or so. I don't know if they just store it on there or if it's
there's
even.
There's gravel, there's block, there's all kinds of stuff stacked up right there.
Right.
There's people have to heat that down
there. Right. And that's not good. So do you have anything else for us?
I got one more thing, David. It's not on the agenda, and I'd ask either you can give it to me orally now or we can talk afterwards on the MailChimp.
I got it all right here.
You have it?
Yep, sure do.
Okay.
I heard that there was concern. Well, one, I'm not sure about it, but like the cargo declined anyways. I think that maybe it might be because we went into a new year. Yeah. But I just let it sit until I wanted to figure out if you guys were even wanting to keep it going or not. There was some concern. You said that maybe that you didn't get some emails and maybe Jim didn't get some of them.
Correct.
Yeah, so can I come up here?
Yeah.
This is, I actually, even though it's not active right now, the account isn't, I added, is that yours?
Yeah.
Okay, I added your new email address right here on
March 20?
Yeah, 24. And then, because I had done a search, and I wanted you to know that you were still in the system, so it's showing your old address as blevinsfortrustee@gmail.com?
Correct.
And that you had subscribed on February the 26th or something like that of 2022. So it's still in there. I don't know why you wouldn't have been getting it, because we've done 24 mailings
okay.
in the last 2 years. So they haven't always been a newsletter. Some of them been like National Night Outs come in, that kind of stuff, okay? So if you're not getting it, it has to be going into your, like, spam. Have you checked your spam and the folders? I get mine in my junk folders.
Okay.
So I don't know why they go there, but they go there.
So sometimes what you can do is go into your search and type in MailChimp, and it'll pop up, and you can say allow.
I just wanted to see
so my question
there.
Is,
yeah.
the payment that we're making every month, we have fulfilled our end of the obligation, and it got published every month.
Not every month.
Not every
if
month.
If I'm the only one doing it, so if I, like, when I get the month, I get a surgery maybe?
Yeah.
Or well, something like that?
I point that he's not.
Yes. Yeah.
I talked to Steve about that. When I researched it in my head and thought about it, I said there was, I'm not going to use the words we're not supposed to use, there was a time when Dave was out.
Yeah.
So maybe some of those missed ones could have been when Dave was out.
Well, can but this, recall? Mm-hmm. He showed me those mm-hmm. pictures, though. There's only one that didn't go out, and that was in June, I think.
Okay.
And that was when I got my surgery. So, yeah,
but
you're right.
Back
you
on
should be getting them.
Okay.
I mean, they got to be somewhere in there. And the price hike has nothing to do with us. We haven't changed any
Oh, I never thought of
just
any of
so
that.
You know, you
and
know.
I thought it was approved to go. Did it go from 35 to 45?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yes.
I've got no notice about it.
It was approved. You're correct.
The only thing I got is it was
I just
want to
make sure that the taxpayers get what they're paying for. And,
no,
and I understand when you're out, you're out.
Yeah.
When I wasn't getting them personally, I thought something was up. You understand?
No.
So
yeah, I get it. Well, we kind of solved that too. Right now, he now is going to be helping me out with it, with the newsletter. So if I'm out, I've got somebody that can get in there and do the newsletter. He'll send it to him and Byron and me for approval, and we'll work from there. So that way we make sure it gets out. But I just want to make sure that you guys want it.
Well, appreciate you getting back to me on it because I've been asking for a long time.
I just heard about it.
Okay, well, I think you can vouch that I've been asking.
Yeah, but I don't come to the meetings. You
and so I understand, and that's why I came to Steve and said, could somebody give me a report on
Thursday.
Yes,
Steve asked me about it.
And so I appreciate you getting back to me.
Okay.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to be prepared.
And thanks for all the help yesterday. And
if you want, I know Jim even said something about it at one of the meetings is what I was told. If you want to give this to him.
I sure can.
This is, I pulled his up too, and I added his township, you know, it shows that his township.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Anything else?
I'm going to open the floor. Does anyone have any questions for the, for I almost said chief, I'm almost saying for the lieutenant.
Lieutenant here.
Hearing none, I will close the floor. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Gentlemen, I do have a resolution.
Okay.
If you're prepared to...
I just have a question.
Yes, sir.
We're going to do it right now?
Well, I know Dave said that
This is only a money question, so if Dave doesn't want... Dave doesn't really need to be there for the next question I have. It's about... Well, I can just ask you. I'm pretty sure I got it in my head.
Sure.
There's a fee for each year.
This is a good question for David. This is right. I was going to ask this and got distracted. Dave, the whole resolution is written for $13,300.
For what? I'm sorry. I missed
for the flock cameras. Camera. I'm sorry. Yeah. So the cameras are $7,000. And then what's the additional?
The way it works out is it's $3,000 a piece for the camera.
Right.
And then there's an initial install fee.
Right.
So only $6,000 is the actual camera.
Okay.
But we have to pay that yearly for those cameras.
The $6,000. Mm-hmm.
They will keep them running.
Okay.
If they replace get them. Damaged, they put replace them. You know, it's I like it because I'm a police officer and I like catching people and bringing people to justice. Okay. But the money is a little bit. It's a little bit. You know, $6,000 is a little bit high, but we also get the fact that we're attached with these other departments and their cameras, and it really helps us out with hit skips. Like if we have a hit skip, we could just put a color of a car in and search it, and it will give it back to us. It's a pretty good system.
I'm not opposed to it. I want to know is, my question is, $6,000 per year, correct?
Yes, sir.
So
that's
where,
cameras.
I understand,
yeah.
And we're going to pay this 13 one time. Yeah. Next year, where's the $6,000 going to come out of the police budget?
It'll have to come out of the budget.
Okay, and you think your guys' budget should be able to take that hit?
Talking to Byron, he says we're good with it.
Okay. So that was my question. Do they realize that it's not, we're not paying
fund.
For 2 years.
Right.
On
it's
this.
An ongoing
Today,
thing.
They're going to have a hit next year to their budget
mm-hmm.
of $6,000. And that was the only thing. And you did address the other because this quote has elapsed, but you said you spoke to them and they're willing to extend this quote through today.
Yes.
I'm good.
So, sir, if you would read the resolution and we'll move forward.
Sure. It's resolution 2024-046, approving the use of ARPA funds for the purchase of two flock cameras for the Township Police Department. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves the use of ARPA funds for the purchase of two flock safety Falcon cameras, including implementation fee from Flock Group Incorporated at a cost not to exceed $13,300. And there is an attached exhibit. Is there a motion, first of all, to adopt the resolution?
Okay, so if there's no further questions on the motion, I would ask for a second.
And I'll second.
And a roll call, sir, when you're ready.
Mr. Lees is excused. Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Terrific.
Can I ask for 1 second to ask, does anybody have any questions about what the flock camera is? They're plate readers, basically, and, you know, when we enter the people that are wanted or stolen cars and different things like that, it will contact each individual officer on the department when it happens. Okay. Just wanted to make sure everybody understood it.
And then can I have a second?
I'm sorry.
The following trustees mark below the second motion. A motion to approve the resolution.
Did you?
You did.
He seconded.
I seconded.
Yes.
Okay. And roll call for the adoption of the resolution. Mr. Lees is excused. Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Terrific. And there is an exhibit attached to that.
Jim Stevens, we're going to be up with you next if you want to take the podium.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Let's
I can listen. Go ahead, sir. Okay.
We really didn't have anything for the agenda today, but here a couple of weeks ago we were asked to, just like Chief Arnold was saying, that we need to start bringing up some stats. So we kind of compiled some of our stats from February. I'm going to read through these real quick. I'm sure there's some stuff that we have missed. But just in February, we removed and installed new 180-foot of storm pile on Ricker Road, installed and removed the old storm pile on Greenleaf for a total of 70 feet on that. Installed and graded 9 yards of topsoil on Ricker Road where we had replaced the storm tile. Installed and graded 6 yards of topsoil on Greenleaf and El Paso, which El Paso was a project that we did earlier. And we're just trying to catch up with the settling. Installed one of our new tarp systems on the F-350 dump truck. Picked up 35 illegally dumped tires from alleys. Picked up 25 truckloads of brush. Moved two downed trees, one on Little Avenue, one on Big Run after storms. Picked up 3 truckloads of trash from the alleys. This is all township wide. Dumped and graded 3 truckloads of grindings in the alley off of Rosemont. We got all of our mowers prepped for mowing season, and we performed multiple sign repairs. So, just kind of an idea. And now that we've got a way, I've devised a way that we're tracking everything daily now, so I'll have a little bit more, you know, to start giving the first meeting of the month.
So how have we done El Paso Drive? I haven't really heard. I figured my phone would burn off the hook with a lot of flooding. I didn't have as much as what I thought I was going to have.
When we get the amount of rain in such a short period of time that we get, even good flowing storm systems back up, we didn't get any, I personally didn't get any phone calls off of El Paso these last couple of storms.
Okay.
So everything seems to be going okay. Our biggest problem, which is it's an ongoing battle, all of our storm goes into the city of Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times in the city of Columbus, stuff backs up. We unfortunately have nowhere to go, but we back up.
Correct.
So with the one that I sent you, I talked to DiNardo, Mr. DiNardo, mm-hmm. in regards to the back of his property, which would be Treview Road, which is at the corner of
Ungaro and
Treview. Ungaro, thank you.
Yeah.
Or can we report that to the Columbus so that... Because that it looked like under one of someone's driveways, why it was stacking up.
And I think I copied you on the email too, yeah. that I sent back. The majority of that is all open ditch,
mm-hmm.
other than where it goes underneath of the road right there,
right.
And then you got this little short period that has a whole bunch of cattails that are growing up.
Yes,
I think that blocked a lot of it because that storm tile that goes from there down chokes down.
Right.
So, yeah, I've reported it to the city and the county.
Okay.
So the only thing we can do is wait on them.
Okay, because I know Mr. DiNardo went out and,
yeah.
which was nice that he removed some debris so it could flow. And he said no time, it started going down, but the cattails and then under someone's drive would be, and I know that that's city, so I just wanted to bring you abreast of what our residents were concerned about because it got up so high and it started flowing back into the township.
If you look at the storm that goes underneath of Ungaro,
yeah.
and then you look at the open area where the cattails are at,
right.
and then you look at the next storm,
right.
that chokes way down to theirs.
Right, and we get, I don't know how many inches that morning, it came down pretty daggone hard.
Yeah, we've gotten quite a bit of rain here lately.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So with that said, sir, do you have anything else?
Is this Saturday tire take back?
April 27th.
Oh,
that's when your
I've got
the road map day is. Isn't that April 27th? Yeah.
Okay, I was going to run. Okay.
And we are advertising that, so.
Okay.
We're good.
That's all.
Okay. At this time, I will open the floor if there's any questions for the road department supervisor, Mr. Stevens. Go ahead, sir.
Could you repeat that? Where did it take tire back?
We try to coordinate every year when the police department does our drug take back, like when people can bring drugs in and drop them off. We try to coordinate on the same day to do a tire drive per se. So if anybody has tires laying around, it helps kind of keep them out of our pilots too.
Yeah, yeah. I'll
have to tire in rim.
You can bring tires on rims. Yeah. we'll have people here on that Saturday.
I just know of some. That's why when you say that, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Let me hear that.
From 10 to 2, feel free to bring them in.
I am.
Yeah, 10 to 2.
Okay,
thank you. Okay. I got 2 for the first time.
Anyone else have any questions? Hearing none, we'll close the floor. Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Yes, sir.
Just a thank you.
Sir, I'm turning this over to Mr. Mazur, our administrator, and it looks like you've got several things for us today.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Fleshman. For the fiscal department, Lindsay and Robin are in UAN training, so I'm going to try to do the best I can and get some things done for them here. The first one, excuse me, is a motion to approve accounts payable presented on April 4th, 2024. And be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board, excuse me, makes a motion to approve accounts payable from March 22nd, 2024 through April 4th, 2024. In the amount of $130,046.19 from check numbers 70168 to 70189 and electronic vouchers 521-2024 through 595-2024.
If there's no further questions on said motion, I'd ask for a second.
I'll second it.
I'm going to roll call when you're ready, sir.
You got the Mr. Leeser again is excused. Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Terrific. Thank you. The next one I have is a motion to approve payroll reports as written. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board makes a motion to approve payroll for the period beginning March 10th, 2024 through March 23rd, 2024, and paid on March 29th, 2024 in the amount of $193,625.23, and payroll for the elected officials for wages earned in the month of March 2024, paid on April 1st, 2024, in the amount of $9,163.24. Can I have a motion?
If there's no further questions, I'd ask for a second.
I'll second it.
Here in a second, if I can have a roll call when you're ready.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
I do have a comment or a couple points that Lindsay asked me to make with the board. The first is that apparently working with Mr. Wilczek, the fiscal department is not getting the help and the assistance that they need. I apologize. I'm not exactly sure what that entails. And then the second thing is there were some concerns about creating modules for tasks that Mr. Wilczek does that he's not sharing with the fiscal department. So I guess that's something probably we're going to have to get with Lindsay specifically and Jeff and see exactly what we need to take care of.
In a few meetings back, we were all kind of given a report that was given by Jeff, as far as the last time that Lindsay signed into UAN was December 3rd, and the board has not addressed anything because, one, I was just as shocked to hear the difference in that Lindsay, I don't know this, so allegedly it would be the word, has not put any time in, maybe an hour here, an hour there, etc. I think that the board needs to come together with all parties and say, hey, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're paying somebody to train her,
mm-hmm.
but if she's not here to be trained legibly, because I don't know, I mean, she's not here to speak for herself,
mm-hmm.
But there just seems to be cat and mouse or something,
yeah.
And, you know, the taxpayers are paying for Jeff's services. Jeff seems to be, because we have an engagement letter coming up, Jeff seems to be here doing his work, so he's accountable for his work. So I don't understand why we can't get things to plug in correctly, but we would just need to, there's been a lot of questions in regards to that area, and I don't have the answers. And I don't think the board should just say, well, we don't know and move on, because right. obviously the board's being looked at. What are you doing? So.
So I guess the thing would be, yes, that we just need to have a sit down with all the parties involved and see how we can rectify this.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Want me to keep moving?
Sure.
Okay. With that, I feel we might as well just go right to Jeff's engagement letter. And that is Resolution 2024-050. It's accepting engagement letter number 27 between Jeff Wilczek, CPA retired, and Franklin Township. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves to accept engagement letter number 27 between Franklin Township and Jeff Wilczek, CPA, for, seems like a typo, for 100 hours at $55 for a total of $5,500. And there's an exhibit attached.
So my question, are we only doing this, do you know if we're only doing this in increments of 100, or how, do you know how we're doing this, or is this just what he asked for, or after 100 hours, is he not here? Should we not say 200 hours?
I've had a conversation with Lindsay this morning.
Okay.
And she would rather this be tabled. And I understand that he's close on hours and whatever may result in to have to get together. But I think it goes along with what John was saying. We need to come and get like-minded on what's going on in the fiscal department, Jeff Wilczek, before we spend any more money.
Okay.
It's just that simple.
Okay.
If it means we have to come together again, we have to come together again.
Absolutely.
Within 2 weeks, we have to. It's part of our job. But we can't keep paying out money, $55 an hour, and these two people not be able to get together. And everything that I've looked at says she can pick and choose the hours she wants to work. If I'm wrong, say I'm wrong. But
No, she's able to. But there, you know, I don't know what her hours are or not. That's her department. I don't know how many hours she's putting in. I'm not making a comment either way on that. As far as is she doing the right thing or wrong thing, I don't know.
And I'm not either, because it puts me in a very bad spot.
Right.
But what I will say is that we have all been together, and it's never been brought up. The opportunity to bring this up has been there.
And that's
and it's never been brought up.
Right.
There was 2 meetings ago that we talked about it in astonishment and all of this and everything, and then after that, it's just fell deaf.
I agree with you. That's why I mentioned it now that
so,
we need to
do okay, so now this is the second meeting that we've mentioned it. Let's do something about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. So
let's not just sit here and continuously pass things on and kick the can further down the road. It's time to do something, so let's do something about it.
So let's set up a special meeting, because it can't be an executive meeting. So if we can set up, Steve, a special meeting that fits everybody, preferably between 9 and noon, if that works for...
I'll make myself available every day next week, because that's how important this is, that we get to the bottom of this.
I know Tuesday is not good for me. I can't do Tuesday. So,
right.
You know, any other day, you know, I pretty much can make work and see what's good for Mr. Leeser.
So that's
Not the April week of 8th. The 8th.
Is that right? April 8th. 12th. Okay. Okay. We'll take care of it.
Okay. So, would you like to table this?
I would.
Okay. So, hearing that, we would table the engagement letter until said meeting.
We need a motion for that, John.
I ask for a motion to table.
Yes.
Said resolution number, let me get to it. Resolution number 2024-050. If there's no further questions on it, I'd ask for a second.
I'll second it.
Roll call, Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let me get situated here. Okay. The next resolution I have is Resolution 2024-043. It's obligations approved by the Township Administrator for the period of March 20th, 24 through April 2nd, 2024. And whereas the Board of Trustees in Resolution 2021-130 authorized the Township Administrator to approve and incur obligations of $10,000 or less on behalf of the Township in accordance with Section 507.11 of the Ohio Revised Code. And again, for the period between March 20th, 2024 and April 2nd, the total was $22,423.71.
If there's no further questions on the resolution, I'd ask for a second.
I'll second it.
Roll call when you're ready. Roll call.
Yes, sir. Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
There you go, sir. Next, I have Resolution 2024-044, approving 80 hours of injury leave for Officer Troy Hale. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves 80 hours of injury leave for employee Troy Hale for the period of 3/24/2024 through 4/6/2024 per Article 24 of the Employees' Collective Bargaining Agreement.
And all statutory requirements have been met?
Yes, sir. In fact, we have attached a copy of his medical report for your review.
Okay. Do we know any status of when he may be back?
You know...
I talked to him today about it, and he said that he's got his doctor's appointment like in the next day or two, and that it's looking like April the 18th or 19th in a couple of weeks.
April 18th.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And he says he thinks he's making that. His doctor's going to price it.
Okay.
But that's just not for sure.
That's good.
Okay.
Good. So hearing that...
Did you have any questions,
Mike? I asked you about it yesterday, okay. So I got my answer.
Okay, good, good.
So hearing that, I'm going to ask if there's any further questions. Hearing none, I'm going to now ask for a second. Ask for a roll call.
Well, we need a second.
I second.
Michael, okay. Roll call. Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go, sir.
Next resolution is Resolution 2024-045, approving 80 hours of injury leave for firefighter Eric Pierce. Be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves 528 hours, 22 days, of injury leave for employee Eric Pierce for the period of 3/24/2024 through 4/6/2024 per Article 34 of the Employees' Collective Bargaining Agreement. And remember, he's a 24-hour shift. That's why the number looks large. Can I have a second, please?
Has all statutory requirements been met?
Yes, sir.
Hearing that, I'd ask for a second if there's no further questions.
I'll second it.
Hearing a second, I'd ask for a roll call when ready.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
His projected date, and Chief, correct me if I'm wrong, is April 14th.
Okay. And he's the gentleman that was hurt, jumped out the window.
Yep.
Okay.
You just saw him, even if you didn't realize it, he was...
Oh, I did. Okay.
Oh, okay. Great.
So he's back on his feet, so...
Yeah.
I don't know if that number totals right now.
These are fluid dates anyway.
They know the... Because we approved the... All of his injury time, I think the last meeting, and it was a big number. This number should just be 2 weeks worth.
Is this 80 hours?
Not 80, but no more than 120. It's either 120 or 96, depending on what schedule he was on.
Okay.
I think he did 528 last time.
Yes.
And that got him concurred yes. up to the March 24th, or March 20th. And then this pay should have just been... 120 or 96, depending on what rotation they're on, schedule-wise.
Can we sit down? Can,
yeah.
Okay. Then the next resolution I have is... Resolution 2024-047, it's a resolution to provide supplemental appropriations number 4 for the period commencing January 1, 2024 and ending December 31st, 2024, whereas it is necessary to provide for the current expenses and other expenditures of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio during the year ending December 31, 2024. And whereas the annual appropriations resolution 2023-270 for the period from January 1, 2024 through December 31, 2024 needs amended. And section 1 presented in Exhibit A here to attach B and the same are hereby set aside and appropriated for several purposes for which expenditures are to be made for and during the year ending December 31st, 2024. And what we have are appropriations, $13,300 for the flock camera system and $64,500 for the fire department, which would include radios and turnout gear, and ceiling for fire department parking lot.
If there's no further questions on the matter, I'd ask for a second.
I have, is part of this the $6,000 grant?
Yes, Mike, there is. I'm sorry to say, yeah. Radios would be $1,500 of this, and the marathon grant would be another $6,000 of this.
Wasn't there some laser heat imaging, or am I thinking of something
no,
else?
No, that's what the $6,000 grant was for a thermal imager.
Okay.
We got the check here just after.
No, I'm just wondering. I didn't hear. Did you say that?
The
that
laser? What,
yeah.
No, I just mentioned, I didn't even bring a grant up until you.
No, it's fine. I'm just trying to. So the grant's for $6,000, mm-hmm. right? This amount is $7,500.
No, it's 13 and 64.
There would be $1,500 for radios.
Okay.
And then another $6,000 for the grant, which is what, the thermo imaging?
Okay. All right, that's good enough. I just wanted to make sure we're okay. All talking about the same thing.
Sure. So if there's no further questions, I'd ask for a second.
I'll second.
Here in a second. Roll call when you're ready, sir.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Next resolution is 2024-048, renewing the engagement letter for FMLA third-party administrator, which is Charles Snyder. And be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves Charge Snyder Benefit Solution as its third-party administrator for the Family Medical Leave Act. And the leave administration for the following proposal, and they do it by episode of FMLAs. It's not a flat yearly fee or monthly fee. Well, I shouldn't say monthly, but yearly fee, after I just corrected myself here. There's an estimated monthly fee of $142.50 based on our current staffing, which will fluctuate with at least a monthly minimum charge of $125. This price is guaranteed for 3 years effective July 1st, 2024. And the fee also includes onboarding of staff and assigned case manager, an employer portal for access, employee communication and coordination throughout the FMLA process, management of all the FMLA documents, the FMLA workflow, and the return to work time, real-time updates with the employer and the employee, and various means of customer service, and the administrator or designee shall be the contact person. Basically, what this is it's a godsend to me and Robin. This third-party administrator takes care of all the FMLA issues we have.
Paperwork and et cetera.
Everything. And we get a report monthly that summarizes what employees are on leave, how much time they have available, and it is. It saves us a ton of hours. So, any questions?
I have a quick one.
Yes, sir.
I sat in on a meeting one day, didn't I, with them?
It was either that or the Bureau, Mike. But okay. Yeah, it all to me.
And
it all,
I see. No, and I understand none of it. So I was just trying to learn. But yeah, I can see how. Well, you and Robin were in on that meeting with those two people.
Yeah.
And I realized I was way out of my element. So, but I was just curious if that was what I'd sit in.
Yes. Yes.
So, I'm good, John.
So hearing such, before us. We have resolution 2024-48.
Right.
If there's no further questions on this matter, I move for passage. Is there any further question?
No.
And Steve, everything has been met as far as according to the fiscal department as well as yourself?
It has. You'll see with the exhibit. Yeah, Rob and I have talked about this. We've used this company for years, so it's budgeted. So it's nothing out of the ordinary.
Okay, hearing that, I'd ask for a second.
I'll second it.
Hearing a second, when you're ready, sir, I'd ask for a roll call.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Excellent. This is the one you sat in on, Mike.
Okay.
This is resolution 2024-049. It's re-enrollment in the 2025 group retrospective rating for BWC in the Ohio Township Association Retro Group. And be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, the Board has agreed to continue their enrollment in the 2025 Ohio Township Association Group Retrospective Rating Program effective July 1, 2024 for the enrollment period 1/1/25 through 12/31/25. Whereas the participation in the program, while not guaranteed, is subject to group performance and may save Franklin Township upwards of $57,718 after the service fee. The fiscal officer is authorized to pay the service fee of $13,505 from the appropriations in the general fund. And again, I'll be happy to answer questions that the board members may have.
So in regards to resolution 2024-049, If there's no further questions, I would ask for a second.
A second.
Here in a second, a roll call when you're ready, sir.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Excellent. The next thing I have is an approval of a liquor permit for 1616 Brown and Hart LLC and Patio. It's located at 1616 Brown Road. Is this Bullshots?
That's Bullshots.
Yeah. Okay. And apparently, all in this case, it looks like the owner, Mr. John Henry, has acquired two new owners, which he's just updating his liquor liquor permit.
So, if I may, does their liquor permit run out, or did they just bring in someone else with another liquor permit?
I think they just have two new. What do I say? Partners.
Okay.
So I think that's what this is doing. It's just updating the permit.
I did a records check on the two partners.
Okay.
That's what we do when they come in, and they were clear.
At one point in time, we had a lot of issues with parking up close. You can remember those years of neighbors beside themselves and with the different things. So it's been fairly quiet.
Yeah, they extended their parking lot like east, and then they think they did the blacktop a lot of it.
Okay. I don't know how you get so many people in such a small little building. Chief, do you know the occupancy on that building? And we check that from time to time during business hours.
I've checked the time, but he does inspection, yes.
Because, I mean, I'm wondering what the 10 o'clock p.m. status is versus a 12 o'clock p.m. Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, I'm just curious with the amount of vehicles that are there for such a small building, why they're at their peak of time. Usually we're in bed. So that's why I was wondering if occasionally if they do an inspection to see if they are adhering to the amount of occupancies that's allowed.
I know Todd does, but I don't think he's done it recently.
Okay. So, we have resolution on the table. We're getting ready to vote on it. Is there any other questions?
No.
Hearing none, I'd ask for a second once you're ready.
Mm-hmm. I'll second it.
Hold on, I thought I did that. I meant I'll. Maybe I didn't.
Ask for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Need a roll call?
When you're ready.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The next thing I have is we've been working with Rev Group, and Nicole has been working closely with them, trying to break down. We have computers that are becoming, I hate to say it, obsolete. There's approximately 10, and we've confirmed that with Rev Group. We have two critical desktop ones that we need to replace right away, and one is for Lieutenant Ratliff. He needs an increase, a new computer plus additional storage for your redaction software. And then Robin with UAN having constant updates, she is running on the edge of, I don't want to say catastrophe, but we could have an issue where she runs out of memory, and then UAN is no longer accessible. But I wanted to just bring that up to the trustees that eventually we're going to need 10, 7 desktops and 3 laptops, but the two critical ones, again, are the lieutenants and Robbins. The quote that we have for all 10 is right around $10,000.
That's pretty cheap. So I have a question on it.
Yes, sir.
Like, Lieutenant, on yours, the only thing that you're running out is space. Are we able, because I know I've done it to my own, I just added more memory, more RAMs in that. And that's something that is as simple as click, click, and you're done, put the cover on. Is that something that would be obtainable as far as that computer and then that computer is good for another however long until the memory on that runs out?
Gosh.
On mine, I don't know if you remember, about 3 months ago, mine completely crashed.
Okay.
The entire thing. That we had Revolution Group, I think, they actually came out and had to do some kind of patches, and they said, dude, this computer is done.
Okay.
It's like a $300 computer on me. And then I found out that I had to have 64, what was it?
64 megs 64. Of RAM
yeah,
versus a 32.
For the redaction software mm-hmm. that's coming. So it's two-part with mine. I don't know about anybody else's, but that one was.
So another question that I have, you have a desktop. Mm-hmm. Would it be a behoove of you to have even a lap? Does it matter?
I don't care.
And here's the reason why. Even like with Robin and some of these other computers, in the past, we have bought computers through Revelation Group. And the problem is, like for instance, with yours, I said, let's buy i7 and spend $200 more mm-hmm. than buy what they have because they had i5s. Mm-hmm. Well, now the i5s, obviously, you need to change them. Mm-hmm. Like your personal computer is an i7 that you're using. Isn't it better for us to just purchase our stuff through Micro Center? They've seemed to work with us. And we get the latest, up the highest megs of RAM and storage space, and then allow Revelation Group to go ahead and do the software that they need. Because what they were doing, essentially, in my opinion, was, which I don't blame them, they're offloading all their inventory that's like i5s or i4s, and they're only going to be good for a few years, and then again, we need to do it again. So if we get off that merry-go-round and we just search and do our own purchase of computers versus taking what they're saying that we need.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that's exactly what Nicole did. This fee, and it wound up being less than $10,000, but she did that. She researched through Micro Center and a couple other vendors for computers. And yes, she has found the same computer or even better.
For the same price.
Less
yeah.
than what Rev Group.
And I get they service what they sell, da-da-da-da-da, but we already pay them mm-hmm. anyways to service mm-hmm. our stuff, so that's a moot point as far as my concern. But I know that once before sitting in this seat, I was like, hey, let's not do that because it's not going to equal out. And no one wants to have to switch all their stuff every couple of years over to a new computer
right.
where, like yours, you've got plenty of room on yours. It runs quick. It's fast. You'll probably still get another 3 years out of yours with no problem. So I don't know currently what's above the i7. I don't know if the i9s, if they go that high.
Mine came from Rep.
Okay.
We need to ask these two young men.
So the other question, yeah, what is the latest?
I-9.
I-9? Core processor? Okay. I knew there was talk about the I-9s. I just didn't know if they came. They're currently out.
One or two.
Okay. So, Lieutenant, my question to you would be, when we get ready to do this, and the same with Robin, but Robin has a lot of stuff plugged in hers. Does it easier for the employee if they had a laptop versus a desktop? So,
sure.
I don't think there's much difference in price. I think it's usability.
In preference?
Right. I mean, I don't have a problem if the employee has a preference, which is better for them, a laptop versus a desktop. Would you?
I want whatever their
preference to
form their job the best.
I mean, right. Okay, because it's basically going to be a tower or sit right here, and if she can take it with her to work or you can take yours and work, it's portable, so that makes it seamless.
She's at home today with Jeff's, so.
So there you go. She may have liked to have hers.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Okay, so we're not doing anything at this time, or do you want a motion? Or
I just wanted to have this discussion with the trustees, so you had this, that we're looking potentially at 10 computers, but we have two absolutely critical ones. And it's one of those things, do you want to just buy the two? Do you want to buy all of them? Well, however you want to do this.
I know for me, I bought from Micro Center a lot of things for myself and my company. And if we walk in there with saying we need X, Y, and Z, majority of the time they really have worked with Franklin Township.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So my thought is, could we just go, you know, when we get ready to do it, or if we're ready to do it, and if we need to do it now, we would just do them all at one time. Because you're going to get more for your bang for your buck.
Well, and again, I think if we do buy these, all of them, I think it's going to be something that we'll have to look at the budget, but we may have to go to the ARPA funds and use some of those dollars from that.
So if we have a plan for our next meeting, where we would line item this, then I think that we could move on that at the next meeting.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, get it done.
And then that way, Mr. Leeser will be here as well.
Okay.
My recommendation, this is just me, I know we have Dell and we have HP and Acers and different ones, but from my experience and what I do and the amount of that I'm on my computer for what we do, we find that HP just by far plug and play, no issues. You don't have to find it or get a patch or a hardware download. It just seems to be plug and play. My preference was to see us have HP.
I agree.
But that's my opinion to HP or Dell or anyone listening. It's just an opinion.
Who's an HP?
Philip Hewlett Packard.
You too?
No, I have a Dell.
A Dell.
Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about manufacturing.
Okay. I only have a couple more things, I promise.
Yeah. Sometimes it may be a small bit more, and I think yours is an HP, that one.
It is.
We got it. And, it is. I mean, no matter what you do, if you're needing a printer, you plug it in, it finds the printer, boom, print. You don't have to sit there and try to, why are they not talking to each other, which sometimes can be, oh, you're ready to throw it out the window. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get back to the agenda. So, sir, do you have anything else for us?
Just a couple more things. As you know, we've had a fire at 355 Georgesville, which I'll get these backwards, which I believe is Ponderosa, the Ponderosa Steakhouse. A fire at 385 Georgesville, which I think is Shakers, and then a fire at 85 Philippi. Mm. Captain Breaker has been working diligently with Bill Toole, who is the township's billing inspector, and they've been keeping us in the loop here. We received a check from State Farm Insurance for $96,000, the township has. That check is to cover the eventual demolition of the Ponderosa. We received quotes from Lowendick, one of the larger demo companies in central Ohio. To demolition the Ponderosa building would be, I believe it's $35,000. My conversations with the insurance company is, that's fine. You use the $96,000 to cover the expense of demoing Ponderosa, but of course you need to send the rest of the proceeds back to the insurance company. Well, last week, the owner of Ponderosa, because again, Captain Breaker has been working with this gentleman, telling them the township is not going to stand around and have these buildings in this condition. The owner of Ponderosa came in to get a permit. We're waiting for the permit to be approved by our building inspector, Bill Toole, William Toole. Once that's approved, then the owner can go ahead and start demolishing the building. Where we're in a predicament right now, and again, I'm working with Captain Breaker on this, we need to establish a deadline, and we need to make sure that the owner of the building is intent on cleaning this up. If not, I want to be able to use the Ohio Revised Code that we've used in the past to clean up the nuisance property. So we're in limbo right now.
I did notice that in the email, and it really saddened me because we were making strides, and now it's taken back out of our hands, and who knows how long he's going to take to clean that up, and it's been an eyesore in the township. So my question is, if we put, and I saw the emails back and forth from Bill Toll himself, are we able to put a date, let's just hypothetically say, on April 30th, if it's not done the very next day, we take over and we put a crew in there to start sweeping up, cleaning up, finishing it up, and their hands are off.
I do know, based on the permit, that, and I'm not 100%, I shouldn't say I know, I'm not 100% sure, there is an expiration date on that permit when that work has to be done, and it may be 30 days. If that's the case, what we're preparing to do, I say we as a township, we're ready to declare it a nuisance property, and Captain Breaker has expressed this to the owner, that we're prepared to call that a nuisance property and start our process to have it removed. The nice thing in this case is the township has $96,000 that okay. We don't have to use taxpayer funds.
So
we have.
So can we go ahead and move forward to get it, even though he's getting his permit, can we go ahead and move forward and get that as a nuisance property? Because we can always pull that off the table. But it's going to take us an extra 36. We're going to be in July and nothing done with that.
No, we're not going to do this is my opinion. No, we're not going to do that. There's too much now, as you gentlemen know, going on at West Broad Street now. If it were up to me, I can't see that building standing there till July as Shakers.
To me, I would have spent the money that was the insurance, and it would have been down this week.
Well, I'm going to talk with Julie. I like that thinking of being proactive, that let's get our ducks in a row.
There's no reason for us to stop because he's asking for a permit. It's still a nuisance property until it's cleaned up. So if we continue to move forward on the nuisance property, because just because he's putting in for a permit doesn't mean that we stop on a nuisance property. Once we get the nuisance property obtained, then we can execute it as we want or delete it.
I have no qualms with that. Like I said, I'll talk with our council just to make sure.
Are you good with that, sir?
I am.
Just to make sure. But I like that. If that timeline is 30 days, then as you're saying, then we step in immediately.
Immediately. Because we have it in our hand going, this is our ace. If that's not on the 30th, then we play this and we step in because we've already got the money from the insurance company.
Yes, I do. So I do like that. And then again with Shakers, again Captain Breaker working with Mr. Toole has been in communication with the owner of Shakers, and they understand this is the same position. Shakers is supposedly has a buyer for that. They've secured the building right now, but supposedly they have a buyer. But this could very well be the same thing where I come back to you gentlemen 30 days from now and say, all right, Ponderosa's taken care of. Now we have an issue with Shakers.
So my thought is, I know I'm talking a lot, I could care less what's going on with the property. That's okay. Blinders to me.
Okay.
My thing is establish that it's a nuisance property, and it obtains over to the new ownership, if there is.
Yes.
For us to stop just because there may be a new ownership, to me, I could care less. So for me, once we declare that it is a nuisance property, the new owner doesn't say, well, I just bought it. Give me, no.
Exactly.
You bought it as is. It's already a nuisance.
Exactly.
It needs to be taken care of immediately.
Right.
Or we will.
Right. Now, the issue with this is, to be very upfront, which is my job, the township may be responsible to fund that demolition because in the case of Shakers, we don't have the luxury of having a check from the insurance company.
Correct.
Again, to demo that building is approximately $35,000.
Now, would we obtain that back through?
Well, it goes to attaching a lien a duplicate on their property taxes.
But we would obtain that, or we would obtain the property.
Exactly. Once it's sold, then a new owner would be responsible for that. My understanding is for that lien. Yep.
Right. We might have some say also if there's a liquor license involved, in order for that property to be sold, if it was going to be sold with the liquor license.
That's an interesting point.
Wouldn't we have some say on if that sale went through? I know you can sell a liquor license and it doesn't attach to that property, but if that was the person interested in buying that piece of property with the liquor license, then we would have some say there.
That's an interesting point, Mike, and I never even considered the liquor license. I would just zero in on the building, but that's a great suggestion.
But if we put out the money, like John just said, and they want to sell the property after we put out the money, they would have to make us whole.
Right, and we can force to sell the property, too. We don't have to wait for them.
I don't know about that, but I'm just saying, if there was a sale of the property, doesn't the back taxes have to be brought up?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we wouldn't have to look at a Franklin Township becoming blighted with these fires that are sitting there that are killing what we're trying to build. Here you got Westland Mall that is well on the way, that's foundly down, and things are starting to happen, and you got two burnout buildings next to each other, and then you're waiting on somebody to purchase the other one, which we don't know the history of who buys it. Then we're going to have to fight with them to get it down, and they are going to go, well, we're looking at maybe repairing it. No, we need to just move forward as we're doing, not stop because it's being sold or potential sold. If we need to spend a $35,000, we need to vote on that. In my opinion, we would spend it and we would attach it to the tax duplicate and we would get the taxpayers' dollars back. Then we have something that's leveled. If someone's going to come in there, they're going to build something that's new in the township and it's going to change the dynamics of the property tax, which is going to benefit the township because there's going to be a different tax code now.
I just noticed Todd's here. If you have a question.
Todd, what we were talking about. Okay.
Are we good? Am I right on that, Todd? We'll give the guy Ponderosa 30 days once his permit's approved, and then is that the timeline on that?
Once we get the permit back from Mr. Toole, Toole and Associates, the chief building official, once we get it back, Mr. Toole is going to write in the paperwork and the orders that he has already started. He's going to have 5 days from when we contact Mr. Jalak. That
the owner of Ponderosa.
He owns 355 Georgeville Road. He's a property owner. He'll have 5 days to come pick it up and start work. From that time frame, if he doesn't pick it up within the 5 days, we are allowed to move forward and do what we need to either demolish the property, whatever we decide to do at that point. Well, whatever you decide to do at that point. He has 5 days from we notify him that the permit's ready for pickup. He has 5 days to pick it up. If he doesn't do anything in that point, we can move forward with the demolition of the building. If he picks it up within that 5 days, he has 20 days.
20 days.
20 days to have that building down and complete and inspected by Toole and Associates to make sure everything is how it should be according to the demolition orders.
Okay.
So roughly, once we get it back from Toole and Associates, he'll have at most 25 days to have the building down.
So the other property that we do not have money for, which is which building?
385 Georgesville Road, Shakers.
Okay, so the Shakers. So they're in talks with wanting to sell that.
Mm-hmm. I talked to Mrs. Volt this morning. She had let me know that Mr. Mazur had contacted her as well, but she hadn't gotten back to him yet. She has a potential buyer right now. They do have the funds to demolish the building, but they're working that out in the sale of the building. And this is what she has told me on the phone. They are working that out in the sale of the building to whether they tear it down or the new owners will tear it down. That hasn't been decided yet, but I told her that things need to move along. But we don't necessarily have to wait for what they're doing, like I heard you gentlemen talking about earlier. We don't have to wait.
I'd rather just move forward.
Mr. Toole and I were out there and we visited the property before it was boarded up. So they have done a good thing by boarding up the property to make sure it's as secure as possible. Mr. Toole and I went through the building itself, and there's a lot wrong with it. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they either sell it quickly and get it demolished quickly, or we can move forward and do things with the building department and nuisance properties and the county.
So what was the date of that fire, roughly?
Geez, I don't remember. I'm sorry, but I... January?
So we're looking at 4 months. And this is the point I'm getting at.
Well, it's probably been about 2 months since the actual fire, 2.5. And unfortunately, when you have a fire like that, you have to give the property owner and their insurer time to come in, do an assessment, do their own investigation and things like that. So we can't start the ball rolling at the end of our investigation for the fire. We have to give the property owner and their insurance company an equal opportunity to come in and investigate the fire, look into what happened, do assessments on the building, and move that way. It can't be, you know, as soon as I say, yep, we're all done here, investigation's over, we don't need to build anymore, we can't start that clock running. It'd be unfair to the property owner.
I got you.
Because that's a lot to try to get fixed and figure out in a short amount of time. I was initially under the impression from Kaylin and Spencer, who were the tenants, they actually operated Shaker's Pub House. They were the business owners, that they were intending to have it rebuilt and have it repaired, but they were having issues with the property owner. They necessarily weren't seeing eye to eye, and Caitlin Spencer couldn't make any of the decisions because it was the building itself that needed to be repaired, which falls on the property owner. Mm-hmm. And I guess that didn't work out the way the business owners wanted it to go. The property owners decided, you know, to try to sell, I guess.
Okay. So one of the things that I would like to see is, a lot of times we get into a catch-22. These two entities or two people are trying to work out how they're going to divvy up the cost negotiation of tearing it down. So what I don't want to see them is eat up time and take it into the next month, and then that person that purchases it takes 2 more months to start doing anything with it. Because an emergency on our part isn't necessarily emergency on their part. I don't want to see that thing sitting here in July like it is now just because it's changed hands. And let's face it, it could change hands again after the people that buy it. You know, someone may be buying it to just flip. Who knows? But the key point is, we cannot allow that to be a catch-22 of why it's not going down. So I don't know if you have a way or Bill has a way that an escrow is set up for the monies that is going, however they just settle it, that money goes into escrow until that building is tore down. No different than if anyone purchases a home and you have an agreement that a new roof is going on at the closing, that portion of the money goes into a escrow account until the work is done.
I don't know about that. I just know that
you're right.
It's one of those things.
Because if we don't do that, if we don't, we give them as much. You know, it costs them nothing for us to yell at them.
Right.
It costs them.
For us to move forward with doing anything with that building, it's going to come out of the township coffers to
right.
pay for that to be done.
Right.
And I know I heard Mr. Blevins talk about putting a tax lien on it, and we get it back once the building sold.
Sure.
Is sold. That may be what we need to do, or what the township needs to do. But it's one of those things that unless we're prepared to, and Mr. Toole warned me about this when we issued the orders for demolition for 355 Georgiaville, the old Ponderosa. He goes, once we issue this, he goes, you must proceed with it.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't see it all the way through and have it torn down, you'll never be able to do it to anybody else. They'll
yep.
fight you tooth and nail, and it'll cost you a fortune in the courts. But it'll cost us money through the court system anyway, because we'll have to go through the county, through the environmental court, and say, hey, look, this is a nuisance property. We have our chief building official says it needs to be demolished. It needs to come down. And we have to proceed through that. Then you have to be prepared to pay to actually have the building demolished.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the building, Ponderosa at 355 Georgiaville, we do have money from State Farm Insurance that they gave us the check to hold
mm-hmm.
for that building. So that way, Mr. Jalak, once he gets it torn down, he will receive his check from State Farm. But we can use the money from them to tear it down, but we have to make sure that we do it correctly. And he has his permit in process, so we have to give time for that to play out. I wish things would happen faster, but we have to make sure that as a government entity, we follow the Constitution just as well as everybody else, and we cross our T's and dot our I's.
So Steve, if you would check with Julie to see if we can mandate that money be put in into escrow and based on sole of that property, if that's possible.
Which one, John?
This would be the one that they are looking to sell, not the one with State Farm.
385 Hurstville,
yeah.
Shakers.
Yeah. Because if they are looking and negotiating a sell, unless we, I mean, we can easily tell them in negotiation. Either you agree to what Julie has, that you're going to put it in escrow, or we're going to continue with, with nuisance.
Well, once you trustees declare the nuisance property,
right,
we contact the owner, our process starts. We don't worry about...
Do we already have that now?
We don't worry about what's going on behind the scenes. If you trustees declare the nuisance property, we serve the owner, and then the process starts.
Okay.
Which is what Todd is saying.
What's that address?
385 Georgia Road.
Which is exactly what you're saying, Todd. If Bill says it needs...
If Mr. Tool says that the building's too far gone and needs to be torn down, and this uses an order for demolition, that it's an unsafe structure...
Then we start
that, that day we receive that from him, that starts the clock that it's a nuisance property now, and they need to do something about it. They're notified, usually by certified mail. That's what we did with the property owner at 355 Georgiaville. We notify them by certified mail that you must take care of this. Here's your order from our chief billing official. It's an unsafe structure. You need to tear it down. That starts the clock.
Okay, so can we make a resolution declaring this today? Is that something that we can do for 385?
Well, this is why I wanted to have this discussion. The township will have to, out of their budget, will have to come up with $35,000
okay.
to demo.
So we have to put up or shut up. So we're going to put up, so discussion, Mr. Blevins. And what I'm writing down is I'm prepared to want to make a resolution that is going to cost the township $35,000 if they don't heave to our order, and then we would attach it to their tax duplicate. So then they will be notified that the Board of Trustees have put this building as declared as a nuisance, and it needs to come down. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, would you feel comfortable today to vote on a said resolution that declaring Shakers, the old Shakers at 385 Georgiaville Road?
385?
So... We're sitting here today, and it's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We already said we were getting together next week for sure.
Oh, special meeting. We can hold it until then.
James could be there then. Steve could contact. I thought he wanted to contact Julie mm-hmm. to make sure that this is all. I would like to wait,
okay.
but I'd like to get it done next week.
Okay.
I'd like to go on to the next agenda. I don't want to delay it any longer, but I just feel let's just take a breath and... Do it next week.
We can do that then.
And James can be here, and he can make part of the decision because it's $35,000 of the taxpayers' money.
That's why I'm asking if you feel comfortable or if we should proceed. That's why there's three of us.
No,
and I appreciate
I'm not trying
that.
To go against what you're saying.
No,
you're
no.
asking for my opinion.
Absolutely.
My mind's racing, and that's what I came up with.
Okay.
Real quick, Todd, because you brought me up to date. Can you bring the audience and John, maybe you have brought John up to date, on the medical building? On Georgiaville.
85 Philippi?
Yeah.
This
is good news.
Mr. Tool and I also went through that building. He did an examination with me. It was unsecure at the time. There was actually, I believe, a homeless person or someone that came out of the building when we pulled up. I announced myself as being with the fire department. But when I saw him walk out of the building when we pulled in, I contacted Chief Smith and asked him if he could send an officer my way. And he diverted me to Lieutenant Ratliff, Officer Myers proceeded to meet us up there, but the gentleman was long gone by then. It was unsecured. The doors were open. Mr. Tool assessed the building itself. It was a mess inside, to put it to, mildly. There's a lot of issues with that building. Mr. Tool and I had a good conversation about it, and again, he's willing to work with you guys, depending on
on what he, information he shared with you. There is structural damage to that facility, to that building. I don't know whether the letter we sent a few weeks prior to that finally got to the property owner, but it was secured, and I mean secured very well. They took a lot of plywood, and they did some very good things to make sure that no one was getting into that building, which is a key thing for us to keep bakers out, homeless people out. And I think I shared with you, Mr. Blevins, there was a whole bunch of drug paraphernalia inside, a whole bunch of human waste. It was a messed up property. And then outside has also been cleaned up at that property, which was a nightmare as well. So they've done their part to help move forward. The same as 385 Georgeville. I'm hoping 85 Philippi, I hope the property owners are actually taking what we're saying to them seriously, since we are sending certified letters, things like that. You know, well, this is what we're doing. We're moving forward, so you can either get in front of it, or you can wait till we do something and then either force you to do something, or we'll do it at your expense. I don't know about most business owners, but I think I'd rather take care of a problem like that myself instead of having someone else do it and charge you whatever they spent. Because, I mean, it's, you might be able to find somebody cheaper than $30,000, $35,000 to that building down. Either one of them.
And if we do this with shakers, it puts a little bit of bite in our bark.
Yes.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Well, they're going to say
they mean business. Mm-hmm. They're tired of hearing, we're going to get to it, we're working on it. If we take action and we bring something or both of them down, then I think it means a little bit more when we say something than we just keep saying stuff. Well, so that's my opinion.
With the property at 355 Georgeville, the old Ponderosa, we've had other issues with that since it was Ponderosa, it was closed down. La Plaza Tapatia operated out of there for a while, then they moved to a new location, then they built their current location. It sat vacant for a while. Chief can remember when we had issues with people illegally using that as assembly, as a party hall. The police department helped us out with that in making sure that they were compliant. And I believe the gentleman that owns it now, I think he'll actually take it down because of all the steps that have been taken. So I think we're setting the bar with him. It took us a little while to get to where we are because there are a couple stumbling blocks we ran into. But I think he'll take that down. And I think Mrs. Volk with Shakers, she's the trustee of the estate. I think that's where some of the issues, why it's taken a little bit longer with that, is because she is the third trustee. They have changed trustees several times. So it unfortunately, every time now you don't necessarily start over square one, but you have to bring whoever's in charge of things up to speed. So hopefully they realize by us reaching out and contacting them and me telling them that the chief building official has looked at your property and needs to be demolished. You need to do something about it. You need to at least secure it for the meantime while you're trying to sell it and moving forward with that. So
yeah, and I appreciate all your updates, and you and I've had several.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those things that we're here to be clairvoyant and transparent, make sure everybody is on the same page. So hopefully within this month, the old Ponderosa will be down. I mean I'm expecting that permit back from Mr. Toole in the next week, hopefully. So then that, like I said, we're looking at 25 days from once we get it back from him.
So what about the Shell station? I don't know if you mentioned that. Is that, what number is that?
40...
We were just talking about
4106 that. Maybe? 4162?
Yeah, 4162.
4162 West Broad Street. It's on the northeast corner of Broad, Georgesville, and Philippi. It's been vacant forever. While Mr. Toole was with me that day and we were looking at those properties, we happened to pull in there and the police department joined us. Again, there were some issues about people living around it, using part of the property as literally a landfill. Again, we can contact the property and say, hey, you need to clean this up. Public health, I did not notify them simply because I know it's been on their radar before. And we're going to reach out to the property owner there to see if they would come clean it up again on the exterior. They usually do a pretty good job of keeping that boarded up. Somebody obviously has made some crude structures there. One is an outside latrine. Mm-hmm. So there's a issues with, again, human waste on the outside of the building. health department needs to come in and help us with that. We can issue them, you know, a notice being like, hey, look, someone's using your facilities as a trash dump. And if you notice, I know I spoke with Officer Myers when we were there, that there was a gentleman that has some mental health issues that's homeless. He views that partially as his property. So he kicked someone out, moved all their stuff towards the sidewalk, only to be arrested for an outstanding warrant. So he's not there anymore, but I'm sure other people are using the property, but there's still trash all over the place. And we can do with that the same thing we are doing with the other properties on Georgesville and Philippi. We can look to make it a nuisance property because there are repeated problems there. I'm sure Lieutenant Ratliff has a longer sheet than I ever do about visits their police officers make there for people trespassing, but that makes it a nuisance property as well, and it makes it unsafe. We've had a couple fires there in the past, nothing in the recent past, but I think roughly a year and a half ago, we had a fire. They had the doors open to the old car wash. They had said I'm assuming it was a warming fire because it looked more like a campfire than anything else. But we can also use the nuisance property, and we can use Mr. Toole to say, hey, look, you at least need to clean up the outside of this. We couldn't go inside structurally because, like I said, they do a pretty good job of keeping their building secure. One door was open to a small room. No one was in there at the time, but not to say that they can't get into the rest of the building. So, so we're just kind of, it's up to you gentlemen what you would like to do. But all these things that we pursue, if we have Mr. Toole issue orders, we have to follow through with, and we have to take it to the end where it is a vacant piece of property ready to be developed again by someone else or the current property owner. But we have to follow through because if we don't, we won't be able to use that avenue anymore because everybody else, well, you didn't make them do it, so why ain't gonna make us?
They've actually created stacked up blocks right up against the building with an opening for a homeless toilet.
And where, David?
PCs filled up in there.
Where?
The old gas station that we're talking about.
Michelle.
It's about this.
Right across from the casino, right in the corner of Broad and Philippi.
And I don't know if Todd mentioned, 85 Philippi has a court hearing this month with the environmental court, so we'll be interested to see how that goes.
Okay.
But what we're finding out, and Todd's very familiar with this, the environmental court would rather have the township because we have more muscle to pursue these nuisance properties than the environmental court. So much like some of the projects we've done in the past, the environmental court endorses the township. Use the Ohio Revised Code. It's much more efficient than going through the environmental court because things just keep getting delayed and delayed and delayed, and we have a 30-day deadline.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as Todd said, are we able to absorb the cost of the demolition? Right.
And then in the end, we get it. But one of the things, Mr. Blevins said that if we start this, word gets around.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that we don't play, that this is inevitable, this is what's going to happen, and it's going to happen quickly, and you can't get a 30-day extension as if you're in environmental court or 90 mm-hmm. days and then come back and ask for another 30 days. So we can actually get these things moving. And this is the first time that we've really been able to use this statute, that we've taken advantage of it and we've learned how to do it. One, by having an administrator, someone that can work on it. Two, as yourself that is working on this on a regular day basis.
Well, there's just too much money being invested in that area right now. We can't do this. I mean, between the mall and West Broad and Philippi and Lincas and, yeah. I mean, you're talking millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
We just
and
can't.
It's not going to attract the right people.
No.
same area, different problem. Mm-hmm. What about the guys standing in the middle of even on Georgesville, wheelchairs in the medium, and then off the concrete in the medium.
Well, I can confidently tell you that I got two guys that can just hammer.
That's all which we need. That and Wilson Road, Wilson and Broad.
Exactly. Imagine. Two officers that just love get taken care of. That for. And they've been doing it.
Because the amount of money that is starting to come into our corridor there is going to be a tax relief to a lot of the residents. And the last thing we need is the people on Broad Street and on Philippi, and then it turns into Georgesville. And they're just, they're right, I don't know how they don't get hit.
But I think you probably might also have noticed that there hasn't been complaints from West Lamar about homeless people up on their property.
Right.
We've been hammering them guys.
And I think the word will get back to their enters, the homeless enters. This is an off. obviously, and this is to everybody. You think, okay, they make a dollar or two. I see them argue over shift change, who's going to be standing. Like when I leave here, I got to go Sullivan, turn right onto Wilson. Right there. Certain times of day is certain people, because that's when they clock in and then they clock out and Billy Ray goes over and Billy Ray's there. They wouldn't be there if it wasn't profitable.
100%.
They would not do it if it was a waste of their time.
The courts won't keep them in down in jail, though. I can tell you that. We've actually taken them to jail at 10 o'clock in the morning, say. Mm-hmm. And by 2 o'clock, that guy's standing on that corner again, and we are running them right back down again.
Yeah. But, I mean, here's the thing. Again, they live close to where they work. I call it work. Call it what you want. Beg. If we apply the pressure according to the law to them, eventually they're going to move to another township or another area that isn't going to, they're going to look the other way. The reason that they're here is because we've almost taken the approach, we pick them up at 10, they're back at 2. Well, 2 o'clock, pick them up again. Waste their time, not our time. And if they're not making enough money that they seek, they're going to move somewhere else where it's out of our reach.
Well, we kind of tell them, go to the city, they don't enforce it.
Right. But there's got to be a way that we can keep pressure on them so that they don't just stay in our area. Because you've got other places, go up to Dublin. Be careful how I say this. I almost wanted to say, like, when you go to the zoo, you see certain signs. In Dublin, I got off the exit going 33, and I forget what exit that is. Immediately, they had a sign that was one of those TP-type signs and says, do not give or whatever. There's better ways to give than to do this. And they tend to really hit that area hard, and you do not see vagrants out there with their signs.
Some of the signs up at our entry point signs then.
I know.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, as we are getting more officers and as we do this throughout the township, we need to take a more positive push to this. Because if we take a back seat going, do they just let them go? Well, we got to think outside the box. All we have to do is make it uncomfortable for them and they go somewhere else.
But we want the new businesses to fill. Like they'll be safe.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the biggest things, like with Dublin, in the area that I'm talking about, and I don't know that exit. It's the first one as you're going to the west on 33, just past the 160, or whatever, 161, and it's the next one or whatever one mm-hmm. right there. And then the hospital's there, the new hospital, and et cetera, et cetera.
Can't answer your question.
That is exactly what you said. They don't want people, you know, rolling their windows up or try, you know, at that intersection. The only thing that you ever see there once a year is the newsies. And they're all, so if we're able to do more and push, you said you already have two officers that like to do that. We ought to try to keep some stats on that to see, are we making a difference? Because if you go up Wilson Road from Sullivan, they have been camping along the fence, and the city's been coming in and cleaning them out, and the amount of trash that they have along that fence row is phenomenal. I mean, that's out of the township, but it's obviously a problem.
We've moved up north there, up to Wilson and Broad. We've actually evicted those out, but we have no means of getting the trash that's left there out there.
Okay. So, I know I hammered on that long enough, but I think you get the gist of that.
This goes to him. I just wanted to...
Lastly, Mr. Mazur, there's something else I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if this would go under with you, Jim, but Concrete Alley and Money Back. The first house on that corner is a rental, and they do a pretty good job about keeping their property clean. But right next door, it's becoming a haven of... What is it?
That's one where they got all the trailers and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And are we able to take a look at that and see who owns it? And part of the structure still standing. It just looks really bad. I don't know the address. They call that the Concrete Alley. And if you turn in on Brookside at the alley, turn right, and it's there on your right. You can't miss it.
That's money back.
Yes.
I'll get you the address.
Okay.
But it's just becoming a catch-all for more and more stuff. Now, the owner of the parcel that's down
where the
woods is, they cut all that out because of all the homeless that was staying in there. And that itself is going to be hard because they left stumps like that. But that did take away the little camps that were staying in there.
It's a lot better shape now than it was.
Yes, that's for sure, because it's bad. So I'll move on. Did you have anything more on that? Next up, Mr. Leisure, he's not here. Myself, the only thing that I would like to report is Joyce and Charlene. Charlene's brother Bill, that usually comes, has mm-hmm. passed away. The funeral's going to be this Friday. He had a stroke, and it was nice to hear that you guys did great care getting him early in the morning to facilitate. Now, he's been fighting many different illnesses for years, and a lot of times he would come with them, but I'm sure that's why they're not here today. So just remember them in your thoughts and prayers. I know for me, they've been a neighbor for 28 years and really good people. So, and they've been very active as township in coming to the meetings. So that's all I have. Sir, do you have anything? So at this point, I'm going to open the floor if someone has a question. Let's try to keep it to a minimum on your questions. If you raise your hand, you'll be recognized. Go ahead.
As far as you were talking about money back and that little alley there and that, well, you know the panhandler that stands there at Beck's and they're off 70?
The beard?
Yes. He's squatting in the house down on Plainview, and he's also selling drugs in the neighborhood.
Right here, if you could stay afterwards.
Okay. We've had several discussions with regard to Mr. Wilczek, and I know in the last 4 or 5 months, Lindsay's issue has been that Mr. Wilczek comes in, doesn't let anybody know when he's coming to this building, has access to our private security code, and hasn't been training her. And she's been saying that for a long while. And that's why she had to change a lock on her door, because he was coming in, getting into things, and then she couldn't find things where they were. This whole thing with Jeff is not a new thing. I mean, I've been asking about him for months. So
sure.
Somehow, somewhere along the way, we got to rein him in.
I think you're correct. I think what...
Because I've got all my notes on
Mr. Blevins, what Mr. Blevins had said... So by us having a meeting next week, all parties will be in. It'll be a special meeting.
Right.
And I think this is once and for all. We're going to get a lot of questions answered.
I hope so.
You know, I don't know. I heard the same thing you had. That, of course, he does have coming in. I didn't know that he had a key, because that's not our
right.
department. And is he on a regular schedule? Is he here at 6 p.m. to noon? I don't know.
But why does he have access to the security code to our buildings? That's one thing that bothers me.
I think
because there isn't anybody here in the hours he's been coming, and that's
correct.
That's
yeah.
not good. That's sure. bad ethics on his behalf.
Sure. Generally, his office is the office back
yeah.
here. So I think he gets here at 6 a.m. or something. I don't know, but the rest of the offices are locked up. And to
right.
my knowledge, he doesn't have access to anything else other than a restroom. So I don't know if him having access to get in the building He wouldn't have access to anything else.
I understand that, but I think it's an ethics issue as to why, in the name of heaven, he is in our township building without any of our administration or staff being present.
Okay.
Because we don't know what the hell he's doing. I mean,
so this is something that, this is a good question. So this is, without putting Mr. Mazur on the spot as the administrator, when we have that meeting, and this will be a question that will be brought up, Mr. Mazur, what is the time frame that we should set? Should he be in here without being from 9 o'clock when most people get here? So that is a good question that will be addressed.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up again.
Sure.
Because this has been going on for at least 6 months.
Okay. So is there any other questions? Yes, sir.
I just have one more. It's for your information. I understand you don't want to use like the $35,000 because it would go to demo one of these facilities. But also keep in fact, when you do put your tax lien on, mm-hmm. you can charge administration fees.
Yes.
And you can also charge interest.
Yes.
On those. So, yes, it would come out of our funds, but yet we could actually make money on that.
Yes, sir.
Just letting you know that.
Well, I appreciate that. Any other questions? Hearing none, we are adjourned at 2:14.